the things, you know, and I've heard this, and you have too, and I've even said it, I guess, sometime or another. We talk about how the Lord uses the doctor's hands and all that. And, you know, but really, the Lord don't need the doctor. Really. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, naturally, if we're going into surgery, we want the Lord to make, help everything to go right. But just to cut to the chase of the matter, the real truth of the matter, he could do an awesome miracle without surgery. How many believe that? Now, as we talk about the ministry of Christ, we cannot separate Christ from this healing ministry. Now, I want you to know, now part of the reason he healed, now I'm getting ready to read the next verse that I want to bring to us. I've took a little time. But part of the reason that he healed was for so folks would believe on him. You study that. He said signs and wonders would follow. In other words, signs. A sign of what? A sign of when you laid hands on the sick and they recovered. That'd be a sign that God was with you. How many knows that's still important? Y'all believe that's still important? You know, when people call, and I hope I don't get off. You can turn it on, Nathan. I'm not. You know, when it comes to divine healing, how many think when people call here and you know and different ones give requests in, why do they call you? Is it a ritual or a formality, or do they really believe you might get a prayer through for them? Well, I sure wouldn't want to let them down. Would you? Boy, it's quiet in here. I have a way of doing that. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to let them down. Wouldn't you like for our church to get on its feet to where when somebody did get sick, we could get a prayer through for them? How many believes that'd be the will of God? Now you say, well, we've had some precious ones, and we have, and it hurts me even to this day. But, you know, really, in that sense, there comes a time sometimes when it's time for them to go on to glory. But I don't want them to go before their time to you. So I think divine healing is still a very useful, prominent place in the ministries of the church. How about the gifts of the Spirit? Can you think of any one gift? What is a gift of the Spirit? Can anybody name one? What? Faith. Wow. When the Holy Ghost comes, when the Holy Ghost is manifested, when the Holy Ghost is manifested among us, he brings the gift of faith. Do we need the gift of faith when we're trying to get somebody healed? Anybody think of another gift? Of course, we know tongues and prophecies and interpretation, but there's also miracles and healing. Huh? Teaching, discerning of spirits. Those are... I don't think we need to discredit. Now, I know when you talk about the medical, you know, one thing that has exploded our medical cost of medicine and is because so many people need it. Now, y'all think I'm going off on a limb today, don't you? But really, amen, if the church would be the church again, amen, it might help the health care crisis. You say, point the finger at Obama. Huh, come on, let's deal with the church this morning. Huh? Oh, boy, it's quiet in here. Huh? Christ came. Now, I'm getting ready to go to this next point. And I think this is connected. What's that next verse say? Let me say this. A lot of living for God will eliminate a lot of sicknesses, too, if you refrain from things that make you sick. Amen. And a lot of them are sinful things. Come on now. And so we look at this scripture, and it says he healed sickness and diseases among them. Now look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I want you to look. Now, if I get this right, and I may miss it, but if I get this right, amen, I'm so glad we put them little steps in there. I can just get right down here with you so easy. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, look at the heart of the Son of God. I don't think God will use us to heal the sick. If you understand what I'm saying, you be a channel for healing if we don't have the compassion that he had on him. Huh? We went through the 50s, and I was just a little boy then, but I can remember the tent meetings and the crutches being piled up and the sick being healed. And there was a healing ministry. People's faith was made them whole. They believed in Christ, and Christ had compassion on them. And men got proud and made merchandise of it. And then they ended up having meetings and being alcoholics at the same time. Huh? And even some people came, and you say, I don't believe it, but some people even came and felt like they got their healing. And then when it all come out on these preachers and found out they was crooks and had other women in other towns and drunk alcohol and were alcoholics and had to go to be dry, detoxed, they said, well, how could this be? You understand what I'm saying? How many understands what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to tell you, amen, just because we have some shysters and some, even in our movement, we have people that weren't what they said they were. But that does not change who Jesus is. And if you believe in that the Son of God is going to heal you, and don't doubt, amen, God could heal you right over at the flea market. Y'all believe that? That's right. Now, the church is the primary for God, and it's the place that he honors the most, and you'll see the most healing, no doubt, right in church, unless we compromise and backslide and get full of devil. But rather long as God is honored in this place, we can expect people to come here. And I've got a little bottle of oil here. And, you know, this bottle right here, brother, you talk about economy. This baby's lasted us 5 years. I don't believe we have to pour. I don't believe it's in the amount of oil that we pour on. I believe it's symbolic. The oil represents the Spirit of God. It represents the fact we're not doing this on our own. We're doing this by the working and the power of the Spirit of God. It's only God through us, using us like he promised. That's what the oil is to represent. And then we pray, we lay the hands on the sick. And then the Bible said, amen, that the prayer of faith should save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Y'all help me preach this morning. I'm almost done. Okay, but I want you to notice, and I want to turn here just a little bit. Christ looked on the multitude. Now they were bringing them to him one at a time. This is the way I picture this. But, brother, they just kept amassing on the outside, and they just kept amassing up, and he prayed for one, and then he looked out there, and he's just one man. Now, I know what you think. He's God. Yes, he is God, but right now, in this dispensation, he is inside this whatever height body of a Jewish carpenter. And I think sometimes that's why he looked at the disciples and he said, greater works than these shall you do. Because the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to be able to fill you and go out and he's going to be able to heal all across this world by the gift of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, we're living so much below our privilege, this almost sounds like Walt Disney World. Huh? We almost think this is a fantasy. But brother, it's real. It's not a fantasy. It's the truth. It's more true than we are. Amen. And so we look at this, but here's the key. Here's the key, I think. Christ looked upon the multitude, and I wonder this morning, as I get ready to close here, I got 5 or 10 more minutes I can share with you here. Amen. But I wonder this morning, amen, if we have that compassion, as we look out there at that world, amen, do we have the same? Look what he thought when he looked out there. I know how I feel when I stand up here on Sunday mornings and watch my congregation gather in. Brother, my heart just goes out to you. He had compassion on him. And I'll go back to the Bible, Brother Jeff's there. And here was some of the reason. Amen. One of the reasons was they were like sheep, wasn't it? And that was the first one. They were what? They fainted. First one was they fainted. And they were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Here's the Jewish nation for all these years. Amen. Had been without. Amen. The true word of God, and it had been silent and dark, and now he looks out at these people, the masses gathered up, and he says they're fainting. Amen. Can I tell you, we've got a world, amen, that is fainting under the burden and load of sin, and they are sheep without a shepherd. My brother, you know, anybody that's ever dealt with sheep, and I haven't much, But without a shepherd, they're in big trouble. Is that right? What else did he say, Brother Jeff? Have compassion on them because they fainted and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And what else? The harvest. Now here, I want you to get this, church, if I can at all. And I wish I was a better preacher this morning, but listen. Sister Helen, he transferred this burden to them. Now I want you to notice, he brought their attention to the fact. And he said, the harvest is plentiful. But what? The laborers are few. What's he doing? What's he trying to initiate in them? And brother, there's the point we need to get to. We need to get to the point where we have compassion. Christ in us has compassion on this world, and we see where the real problem lies. Well, I'll tell you where his problem is. He's hooked on dope. Well, that's not the first problem he ever had. The first problem he had was when he rejected Christ. Are y'all out there? So maybe if he'd find Christ, he'd get unhooked from drugs. So the problem's not the drugs primarily. What is the problem? Sin. And so he says the labor's great, but the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all don't feel this, do you? Here's what I'm trying to do. Here's what we as a church, you know, just as much your church as my church. God called you here. You got a place here. You have a work to do in the kingdom of God. He looked at these disciples, and what did he say? He said, pray that, what? How's that read? Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. Boy, I feel the Lord right here. I realize, and I have for a long time, I know this is not all about me. And I know, you know, I came here at 26 years old, and I've been here 26 years. And I realize if this work prevails and goes and does what it has, it ain't going to be about me. I'm going to do the preaching. I'm the pastor. You can only have one. But each one here must be initiated into the field of the harvest, Brother Zane. Everyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, when God saves you, fills you with his spirit, gives you gifts, gives you traits, gives you a personality, gives you an unction and an aura of the spirit about you to be able to go out. Do you have that? Do you have a spiritual influence when you go? The Bible said, ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, aren't you? If you've lost your savor, then what good are you? But to be cast out. Oh, I go to church. Don't you see me here? But what about Monday? Jesus wanted to initiate in these disciples a burden. He looked out on that world, and I believe the Bible said he had compassion. Now how does that affect you? I can look at you. When you look and have compassion, I can tell it on your face. I can tell it by looking in your face. If you're mad or angry or bullying, or if compassion overcomes you, I can tell by the tone of your voice. I'll be on the phone. I can tell. That's one thing about my little sis that went on to glory to, you know, pave the way for us. I could tell when she'd call me every day, she'd call with a voice of compassion. And she'd be about to fall apart herself, but she'd call with her old brother, you know, wanting to tell me something about the Bible or how God loved me or how I belong to him, how I ought to just stay up there. And boy, I'd miss that. Huh? And you can tell without looking, but when you look, you can tell in the face of individuals, you can tell if they've got compassion. I believe you can look at the Son of God, amen, and you can hear it in his voice. And he looked around at these disciples and he said, hey, 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 man, I believe he was overcome. He was moved, the Bible said, with compassion. You not only see it in people's face and hear it in their voice, you see it in their actions. They're moved with compassion. I want to know what's been moving you this week. Bad news? Something go wrong? And Lord, have mercy. If I dwell on it all this morning, and I tell you, the devil tried his best to plug in the bad, negative things for me to dwell on how this is going to turn out and that turn out. But you just got to keep pushing that off and realize there's a field out there that's white to harvest. What's that mean? A white harvest. What's that mean? It means time is running out. I believe the Lord this morning wants to initiate in you a fresh burden to work in the kingdom of God. It don't matter, Sister Hildred, if it's sowing. You can sow it with the spirit of the kingdom of God upon you with compassion to a lost and fainting, scattered world. I don't care if you're working on the job, if you're at the grocery store. If we're moved with compassion, we'll look at this lost, dying, sick, sin world, and we'll say, hey, God has given me grace to live above sin. I'd like to share it with somebody else. Is that right or not? Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Church, listen, we're not going down. We as a body here are not going down. We have a rocky time. We have our times. Amen, of trial, just like every other church in the world. But I'll tell you what, we are going to be that church by the grace of God. We're going to be the people. Huh? Amen. You need to take inventory on how you've lived this week. And I want you to ask you, is it a positive toward the kingdom of God, or if somebody saw what you were doing, is that going to be a negative to the kingdom of God? Christ is our great example. And he looked at these disciples, and here's what he said. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Now, who do you think he's talking about there? He's talking about his Father. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. That's my prayer this morning. I said, that's my prayer this morning. Would you stand with me? God bless you. Appreciate you being here today. Appreciate the Lord inspiring me and helping me and anointing me. And I tell you, there's times, as much preaching I've done, and I don't mean to say it, but there's times I can't hardly do it in my body physically, the pain. And you know it's true. How many knows that? But this morning I feel good, and I feel like God has strengthened me for your sakes. And you need to take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. And say, the Lord has spoke to me this morning. And I was one of 132 that he spoke to this morning.